Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the daily pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Church, this is a time where faith and wisdom come together, and that can only come from the Holy Spirit. Each one of us is in a different place, and I know we all have concerns. That's all we hear about, but we all have concerns about how we're going to handle it. The Holy Spirit will bless you with the wisdom. The Holy Spirit will give you that faith, and we're all in different places. So honor those that are in a different place than you are. Faith and the wisdom can be different for all of us. So bless you, and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you in all these areas. Thank you.
Lord, we bless your name this morning. We offer up our bodies, our minds, and our spirits, Lord, to you. We surrender today. I have a word from a gal that I listen to. She has some profound words from the Lord. I have something to read for you today. This is called Everything I Have Ordained. The Lord says, "My children, do not fear the things you see or what you hear is coming, for I am with you wherever you go. I hold you in the palm of my great hand. Everything I have ordained for these times has been designed to bring souls into my kingdom. The plagues, the wars, the famines, everything that happens will increase the harvest of souls. Be sure to tell people of my great love for them. Tell them of my gift of salvation that is free to every man, woman, and child that deserves or desires to live with me in heaven. Soon the earth will become a fearful place indeed as the enemy seeks to remove all that is of me from the world you know. He seeks to remove you too. But be assured, I am watching over you and I am well able to protect and guard all that is mine." Psalm 121, "The Lord will guard your going in and your coming out from this time forth and forever." Psalm 32, "I will instruct you, teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." John 15, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Isaiah 41, 10, "Do not fear." You hear this over and over again. Fear not. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Philippians 4, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known before God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." John 14. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Do not listen to the world, people. Don't listen to what they say. Listen to these promises. If you abide in the God that we love and follow, if you abide in him every day, these promises are yours. You can hold fast to them. You carry them wherever you go, every step that you take, every breath that you breathe. Our God is watching over us. Amen.
Well, welcome everybody. If this is your first time here, I am not Pastor Henry. I am not. Yeah, gonna make sure I stay out of that area. All right, so he did send a message, though, so I'm going to read it before I get started here. Okay, so this is what he wants me to read for the church. And it's Psalm 16:7, and it says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel, my reins, heart, in parentheses, also instruct me in the night seasons. Seasons come and seasons will pass, and what's so comforting for me and my family is the truth that our Heavenly Father will always give counsel for his sons and daughters. It's so important to each of us to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you personally. What our world is experiencing today has the potential of either distracting us or causing us to realize the message about Jesus and his love for us and those around us is truly the only place of comfort and safety. We are the light of the world. Allow your trust in the Lord to be seen in your daily walk and what you speak. When the world around us is in fear and worry, speak comfort. When the world is seeking and hoarding things in panic, give and then give again. You're not of this world. You're of God's kingdom. There's no lack or no worry, but great peace and amazing expectation of the God, of the good things to come. And finally, Joshua 24:15 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, do you know that we are family? I speak over each of you, me and my house, my brothers and sisters, we serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. And Rosie and Pastor Henry, Jonathan, Rebecca, Oscar, Davin, and Adelani greet you this morning with love, joy, and rest. Today, we love you, and please wash your hands in the waters of life. So, like I said, I am not Pastor Henry, but for those of you that don't know me, I'm Abe Enix, and my wife and I were the youth leaders here at Sarita House of Worship, and Pastor asked me to speak today. I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems as though there's been a shift in the world. There's a lot of people out there who are in fear, they're panicking, and some of those people, or probably a lot of those people, do not believe in God, and some of those do. And, you know, we look at the world today. Recently, I believe it was just last week, we launched airstrikes in Iraq. If you look at what happened in Australia, over 27 million acres burned. In Africa, they're dealing with famine, and on top of that, they're having swarms of locusts that are just desolating the crops there. And it sounds like, because of all that, the end of the days is drawing near, right? And it's not something that, you know, I'm going to say that it is, because nobody knows the day or the hour. But on this earth, as long as we live here, we're always going to see something happening that's some sort of strife. If you look at Matthew 24, this is verses 4 through 8, and it was talking, his disciples asked them about what it would look like in the end times. And it says, Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pains. And then for us, it tells us in Luke 21:18-19, it says, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. And that's good news for Pastor John, right?
Sorry.
You got some. Yeah. So, before I go any further, let's just go ahead and pray. Lord, I just ask that you be with us today, that you bring a peace to us, Lord, that you don't let this be like just any other church service, that the words that we hear today from your Bible, Lord, that it changes us, becomes a part of us, and it makes us better for it. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for allowing us to gather here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, you know, when I was told I was going to give a message this week, it was like a couple weeks ago, so it was a lot different just a couple weeks ago. And after this week, I wanted to come in here and say, you don't have to worry. Everything's going to be okay. You're not going to be affected by anything. But then I read about the prophets in Jeremiah 23, and it talks about these prophets who gave out false hopes. And I'm not going to be a prophet like that. I'm not going to speak like that. Instead, what I'm going to tell you is that if there is any fear in you, make sure it's placed correctly. Because we shouldn't fear any virus, because our God is greater than any virus. Amen. Our God is greater than any war, any famine. So, I also wanted to say that there may come a time pretty close here that we aren't able to gather because the government will forbid it. It's quite possible that we'll have to be at home with our families. So we need to be ready for that. We also need to be people who are dependent on God. We need to look to him for everything. And as long as we can't be together, that we'll be together. But we should be these people that don't lose our principles or our values because of the circumstances we find ourselves in. There's a big reason for people to fear right now. And there's something where we as believers will perish, but it's not because of a virus. Hosea 4:6. It says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. And when it speaks of knowledge, it's talking about knowledge of God's will, knowledge of his word, which will reveal his will. And then it goes on to say, because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. And there's something that I think a big reason why we have this decrease in knowledge, where we just rely on somebody up here speaking, or we rely on a teacher in a Bible study, or somebody on YouTube giving a sermon, is because we are not seeking that out for ourselves. Now, does anybody know what the beginning of wisdom is? Fear of the Lord. So we have to have our priorities in the right place. Many people are fearing a virus that they can't see. But there's also people that don't fear a God they can't see. Now, us as believers, we should see the really the very real fact that he's changed our lives, that he's done things for us before. But sometimes we forget about that. And it's not until we come up against something that we actually remember that. So Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Proverbs 28:14 says, "Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble." Now, there's many times where you might have heard something in church, you might have said, "I don't really agree with that," but maybe not gone back to your Bible to say, is it true or not? It says in Scripture, I think it's in the book of Acts, where it talks about the Berean Jews, how they were of more noble character because they heard the message. They took it with joy, but they also searched out the Scriptures to see if it was true. And we as believers, we need to do that. We shouldn't just take anybody's word for it. Don't just take my word for it. We're supposed to take whatever we receive and put it up against Scripture to see if it is true. We can't just go along with the flow of whatever other people tell us. That's how a lot of misinformation, that's how a lot of heresies get introduced into what's being preached. And it takes you into that, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And, you know, I also say that when it comes to fear of the Lord, most people are going to tell you, well, it's just this respect. It's a reverence. It's just to look at God in awe. But especially at first, when you come to know God, it could be something very different. If we look in Hebrews chapter 10, this is verse 26, and it says, "If we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay.' And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And listening to that, I think that's a fear that goes beyond reverence. In Isaiah 6, let's put it this way. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.'" And this was a man who was a godly man, and he was frightened by the Lord when he saw him. If you go further in Revelation 1, it talks about John. And it describes John as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So John had a close relationship with God. But then when he saw the sight of Jesus, his glorified body, he said he fell over as dead. This was a close friend of his. So we need to be people who put God in his right place, where we do feel a closeness with him. We do feel like we can approach him, that we can make requests of him, that we can serve him, that we can be like a child of his. But we also need to know that God is a God of wrath. He has that aspect too. You see in the Old Testament, And you see it in Revelation. So it's in Old and New Testament. God is unchanging. So in Luke 12, 4 through 7, it says this. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after the body, your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So it sounds pretty powerful. It sounds like something I should fear, but luckily for us, we are believers. It says, are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And the same thing happened when John had fallen over and saw Jesus. Jesus told him, do not be afraid. There comes a certain time where that fear of the Lord, fear of what he could do, should transition to something more like a fatherly love. Like one example I know is like if my mom would say something like, wait till your father gets home, right? Because I knew that there was a certain authority there that I didn't want to challenge, right? But also, because I love my father, I didn't want to disappoint him. So I not only had this fear at first of what could be done, but it turned into a fear of disappointment. And that's really the way that we should view our lives and what we're doing for God. We need to get away from a mentality where church is just a place where we go and we attend so that maybe we can hear some good music, good words, sound nice. But it's actually something where we're going to church to be prepared for something. It says that he gave us the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, so that we would be equipped. We'd be trained to do everything that he's planned for us to do. So there is a time. If we look at Hebrews 1, I didn't give that to you, but if we look at Hebrews 1, it says that it talks about the difference about how God talked to us, and it says in the last days, in these last days. So we are in the last days. How close we are in the last days, we have no idea. But we are in the last days. And it does say this. This is what we need to actually fight against. It's in 2 Timothy, it's chapter 3. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Now, the disturbing thing about that is not talking about in the last days, hey, you're going to see people like this. The disturbing thing is that you're going to see people like this in the church. And, you know, I haven't been in ministry too long, just a few years. Where, you know, I've actually been involved in the church like I'm supposed to be. But, you know, these are things that I've already seen. And I'm sure just people being people, you know, that this is all going to come up. But the number one thing there, it says people will be lovers of themselves. You can see right now in the time that we're in that that's really evident by how people are reacting. I was just reading this article where this guy, he bought like $70,000 worth of hand sanitizer so that he could sell it marked way beyond what it should be. Same thing with masks. So there's healthcare professionals that don't have masks, and there's also healthcare professionals that don't have hand sanitizer. We don't have it. And they're doing it so they can profit. They didn't think about the consequences of what could happen if people don't have this stuff. That's because they're being a lover of self. They saw an opportunity to exploit people, and they took it. But, you know, you'll even see it in the church, too, where people will talk badly about other people, gossip. They'll say things that they shouldn't. And what's the purpose of that? You know, here as a body of believers, what we're supposed to be is we're supposed to be unified. We're supposed to be together. We're supposed to be people that build each other up. Now, there are times where we do have to say things that are hard, but we do it in the form of love, because we're not doing it because we're being hateful or saying that we're better than somebody, but we're doing it because we see this thing that could destroy a person. Because just a little bit of sin will increase to more sin, to more sin, to more sin. Because if this small thing is right, this slightly bigger thing is okay. And then the sin just increases. But, you know, I've also seen people who are, as it says, rash, where they'll just instantly lash out at you. And as Christians, you know, we have to do, like it says in James, we have to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Considerate, lovers of pleasure. I mean, there's a lot of people. Speaking of lovers of pleasure, there's a lot of people that will choose other things over God. Okay. Where it's like you're scheduling your time around yourself, what you want to do, rather than what God wants you to do. One simple thing is church. You know, well, I can miss church, and it's fine to miss church. I mean, I've done it. Recently even. But if you're consistently doing it because you'd rather be doing something other than being in the presence of your family, this church body, or hearing God's word, then there's something out of alignment. And it's very dangerous, too, to, as it says, to have a form of godliness, but deny its power. To say that we're Christians, but not walk in the authority and the power that that gives us. Because people will see how we're living our life out in society, and they'll say, you're no different than me. Why do I need to be a Christian? But the issue is that we're supposed to be showing, we're supposed to be a demonstration, a reflection of who Jesus is. So we have to be people who show love at all times, but also can come up against any kind of circumstance and show people that we have hope. That's what most people don't have. They think they see something like the coronavirus and they're thinking, well, I better not get it because I can just die. Now, as believers, we know we have access to a healer. His name is Jesus. And it's us, and it's our responsibility to show that to the world. And now is the greatest time that we could do that. Because we have hope, we have calmness, we have peace. People will see that, and they'll want that. So, I want to talk about this in Philippians. Talk about more about the type of people that we should be. It's Philippians 2. This is 1 to 13. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Now, you know how important unity is to God? Before Jesus went on the cross, he actually prayed for unity. I think Pastor mentioned this recently, but he had prayed, Father, I want them to be one as you and I are one. As you are in me and I in you. So a closeness that nobody else would understand and would also be a mark that we are truly believers. If you want to know how seriously God takes unity, in Titus chapter 3, it tells us that warn a divisive person once, warn them twice, and then have nothing to do with them. To me, that sounds like it's a pretty strong rule to live by. Doesn't mean that later on you can't forgive that person. You should forgive that person right away. But it doesn't mean that you can't have fellowship with them later after they stop whatever it is that they're doing to cause the division. Because one divisive person can actually do a lot of damage. So it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. So this goes back to lovers of self, how we're supposed to be the opposite of that. You know, if we see somebody in need, and let's say that we have it, like maybe we have toilet paper, and somebody doesn't, to be a person that's going to share. Because we have a belief that God is our provider. Right, as I read earlier, it said, you know, the sparrows, I mean, he takes care of them. What more is he going to take care of us? And imagine the difference you can make in somebody's life by being somebody that said, I will give this to you. Even though we are going through this thing, whatever it may be, I'm willing to share with you. I'm willing to be open and not look at my own interest above yours. And it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So see, there is a purpose for us being here. There is a purpose for us being believers. And it goes beyond getting what we want out of God, but also for us to do his will and fulfill his good purpose. And we always have to be looking for that. I've said it many times before that there is a certain type of peace. There's a certain type of joy that comes from serving God. For me, it started out in the visual booth, and I'm still back there at times. And I have to make it very clear that our identity is not found in what we do as like a profession. It's not found in something else, but it's found in who we are in Christ Jesus. And the only way we'll fully realize that is if we become the person and do the will of God that he's called us to. There's probably a lot of stuff that doesn't happen because people won't give their time to God. To be able to be a person who can influence somebody's life in a way that has an eternal consequence to it is amazing. Because you could teach somebody something that could change their life. Or you can bring them to belief, and then they are sealed for eternity. They don't have to suffer. But if we're not following after God, and we're not doing his will, and we find what we're doing is more important, not to say that we don't get to just do stuff to have fun, which we do. We even have fun while we're serving God, right? If we're neglecting who God has called us to be, well, we're going to reach heaven and he's going to tell us something other than, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to do that. I want to please God. I want to make my Father happy. You know, I remember, I think it was Pat talked about it before, but he's saying that one of the places with the most, I think it was like wasted riches in town, was the cemetery. Because there's all these things that never happen. You know, songs never written, things never done. But, you know, I feel like one of those places is a church. There is so much that we miss out on because for some reason we think that what we have planned for our life is greater than what God has planned for it. We ask him to bless our plan instead of asking us to give his plan, which he's already equipped us for. He's already given us everything for. And his plan is far greater than anything that we could ever plan. There's been times before I've given sermons where I've prayed, I've been laid down on my face. And I feel like God has given me just a glimpse of his heart. And then he grieves over his people that will just not obey him the way he looks for them to obey him, to carry out the will that he's called them to carry out. Because he's given us, each and every one of us, a gift to use, a supernatural empowerment to do what he's called us to do. But there are so many people that waste it. And time after time, people talk about it in different ways. They give different illustrations, but people neglect it. And I'm telling you, you need to do what God is calling you to do. And especially at a time like this, in Esther 4:14, it says this. Now, this was at a time where Esther was put in a place of influence. She was a queen. And she had the ability to stop the destruction of her people, the Jewish people. And this man came to her and said, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish." So he said, "You know what? God's still going to save us. But you, right now, you have the power to do something about it. Because God has put you in this place." And he says, "And who knows? But that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Now, I don't want anybody here to be ignorant of your position. Because if you're a believer in Christ, you do have a position that goes beyond what you can imagine. And I'll read a scripture on it. It says this. 1 Peter 2:9. And it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So, do you think that maybe you're a believer at this time, in this place, for a reason? That you have authority, that you have a purpose at this time for a reason? You should carry that out. It's not something to neglect anymore. Now, we have to talk about priorities. Like I said, it's fine to do stuff, have some entertainment, unwind, that kind of thing. But we shouldn't neglect what God's called us to do. Matthew 10, this is verse 37-39. And it says, "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And I see it time and time again where people put somebody and their family ahead of God. Be it a kid, like, "I'm going to do whatever I need to make sure that they live a better life than me," but they do it in a way where they're actually ignoring God. And it says, in 38 it says, "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me." So just as I was talking about before, he's created good works for us to do in advance. But there's many people that don't do it. And that is your cross. That is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do, like I say, what God wills. Now, there's a reason why you're specifically here in this body. It's because they need you. We need you. I need you. We all are intertwined in a way that, like I said, it should be just like a family, a close family, a good family. One that supports one another. One that loves one another. That looks out for one another. That we see somebody in need. That we give it. We see somebody needs help or prayer, we give it. That we're not looking to be served, but to be servants. Now, I don't think I gave this to you, but it says Matthew 16:24. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" So there's some things that we're going to have to give up in order to be the people who God's called us to be. But can I just tell you, whatever you give up, it's worthless compared to what God is going to give you. So in Matthew 10:39, this is what it says. It says, "Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." So It's when we face certain things, we shouldn't look to God to preserve our life because he's already doing it. We're here, we're breathing because God wills it. And let's look at this. Romans 12, this is 9 through 13. This is more about the type of people that we should be. And it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Like I said, we're a family. Honor one another above yourselves. Still, we have to be in a place where we're consistently looking out for one another. Even if people don't say anything to you, like they have a need or anything, just ask God to show you. Is there somewhere I can help somebody? Is there some way I can help somebody? And it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And that can be difficult at times to be passionate. It can be difficult if you're not serving God. It can be difficult if you're not reading the word like you should be. It can be difficult if you're not praying to God. Because I'll tell you, there was a time where I felt really close to God, but I wasn't serving God. I was doing the thing where I was like, well, I want to do this, God. Will you bless it? I want to do this, God. Will you bless it? And it would have been so much easier. I would have been here so much sooner if I would just would have gone with whatever God had already planned for me. So it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And Joshua 1:9 tells us this. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So, in whatever we're facing, and let me address this first. Like I said before, there are people that are in panic, or people are fearful, but there are also people that are not in fear, but, or let's say, not in fear, but not concerned about what's happening. The Bible tells us that a prudent man sees danger. So we shouldn't be ignorant to the fact that the world has already changed a little bit. And I'm not saying to be fearful, but I'm saying just be prepared. And that's by doing whatever God is calling you to do. To being the person that God's called you to be. Because as I said before, there's certain things we've already seen changed, right? Like, has anybody been to the store lately? Like I said, toilet paper? So, the stock market, is that going to recover immediately? I don't think so. All the time that has been lost in production, all the time that will be lost. So, I just want you to be aware. So, but also not afraid, not discouraged, because we have a God that's always going to provide for us. Especially if we're the type of person that's using whatever he provides to help others. Now, I want to talk about the kind of people we should be when we see that something's actually right there at our doorstep, when it's actually happening. When God's called us to do something that may be difficult in light of what's going on. So in Acts 21, this is 17 to 24, it says this. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. So what we see here is Paul was being called to a different place, but a place he knew that he was going to face certain hardships. Now, the Holy Spirit told him in advance that's what was going to happen. But as he saw, that didn't matter to him because he said his life was worth nothing. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to get to a point where you could be somebody like that, but we all should be gaining a maturity as we come to church, as we study our Bibles, as we pray, as we serve God. And that maturity is going to bring us to a place that maybe one day God will ask us to be somewhere where maybe we would have to give up our life. Because we know that people in the Bible, they've been martyred, right? I mean, if they weren't dead, they wouldn't be a martyr, right? Okay. So there are times when God's going to ask us to make the ultimate sacrifice. He did it for us. So even though he knew about all that, he knew what was more important was the task that God had given him. And we need to look at it that way. We need to see that, you know what, God, I see, I understand. You want me to do this? I'm going to do it. So we need to be people that are consistently looking for the will of God. And that happens through reading his word. And it happens through praying and serving him. We also need to make sure that we maintain our joy. There's a difference between joy and happiness. You know, I can be happy if I'm out at a party somewhere. You know, I can be happy if I'm out doing something I want, but I can't be joyful. I can't be happy if something's going wrong for me. So we need to maintain that joy. What it is something that we have despite the circumstance. Happiness is just something because of the circumstance. So just want to go through a couple more scriptures here. But Hebrews 6:10 tells us, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. And it goes on, it says, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through the faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. And that's what we all want for you, is for you to inherit what's been promised to you. And I'll close with this, but 2 Peter, it's 1:2. And this is just a greeting. But who knows that every part of God's word has something profound in it. And it says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So where do we find grace and peace? Knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So as we talked about before, we get that knowledge from reading the Bible and knowing his will. So we have to be diligent in doing that. And that means gathering on Sundays. It means not gathering on Sundays with other people who are believers and studying the word. It means taking your own time to study the word. And you will be given peace and grace. So in a moment, you may not have heard this or not, but the president has called a National Day of Prayer. So after I close in prayer, you're welcome to stay here and just pray a while with us. And if you have to be somewhere, that's understandable. And you could be dismissed as you feel doing so. So if you would, let's pray. God, I want to thank you for your word. Lord, like I'd asked before, just let it not be like another church service, but let it be something that changes us, something that makes a difference in our lives, something where we'll be able to use it to glorify your name, something where we'll be able to win souls for you, Lord, something where we'll learn to be able to be people who love others more and love you more. And once again, thank you for this place where we can gather, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you give us all peace at this time. You give us understanding of your word as we study it. And let that revelation be something that also changes us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You could connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.